I was talking to one of our ladies on the telephone the other day, and she said to me she wished that she could face things, adversity and different things that come in her life, that she wished she could face those with a quiet resignation or contentment, to be content with whatever comes along, like the Apostle Paul said. And that conversation that we had got me to thinking about and reading about or along the lines of this thing of true happiness and contentment. What will bring that sort of resignation or contentment? Now, excuse me. The Apostle Paul said that in Philippians 4:11. He said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Now, do you know where he wrote that from? Prison, jail. How could he say these things under such circumstances? What would bring a man to such inner strength and peace? Are you interested? Oh, I am. My. I am. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1 with me. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now, the Apostle Paul was in jail here when he's writing this epistle, this letter to young Timothy. He was in jail for preaching the gospel. And these jails that they had back then were not pleasant places at all. Not like the somewhat of a country club atmosphere that jails, minimum security prisons and so forth are today. These were hard and cruel places of torture and misery. Most often they were dark, damp, cold, filthy places. They were dungeons. You've seen pictures and so, or movies and so forth of these old dungeons and prisons that they cast their prisoners into. Miserable, terrible places. Generally, people died while they were in prison before they served their time, from disease and so forth. Now, we have reason to believe that the Apostle Paul had some privileges or liberties, but to be sure, he was in jail. He was in jail, prison, and it wasn't a pleasant place to lay his head. Not at all. He didn't have a feather bed in that prison. Let me tell you some of the things that the Apostle Paul went through. He related them here in 2 Corinthians 11. He said, now I'm going to speak like a fool. There's some people bragging and boasting. But he said, I'm going to speak just like them. I'm going to do some bragging here. But I'm a fool. Understand, he says, I'm speaking like a fool. But he said, are they ministers of Christ? I'm more. He said, in labors more abundant. We know how the apostle traveled all over that part of the world. In stripes above measure. He said he just about lost count. I need beatings. In prisons more frequent. In deaths oft. We believe that the apostle died from stoning one time. He says often. I don't know if he went through it more than once, but who knows? Of the Jews, he said, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I suffered shipwreck. I stayed 24 hours, a night and a day, in the deep, in the water, treading water. journeyings often, perils of water, perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, perils by the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, hunger, thirsty, fasting, cold, naked. This man went through a lot. More than any man, I know, more than any of us will ever come close to going through. And here in 2 Timothy, he's writing to young Timothy from prison once again. And he's trying to encourage Timothy. He's writing from prison. He's the one who's suffering. And he's trying to encourage this young Timothy to endure whatever comes his way for the cause of Christ. Now look at it with me. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, that is a messenger, a bondslave, by the will of God, God made me an apostle, he says, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. That is, I'm a messenger of the gospel. To Timothy, he's writing this letter to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. They must have had a special relationship, Paul and Timothy. He says, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Grace, holy. Timothy, he says, God our Father and Christ our Lord have been so gracious, so merciful. And they've given us peace, which passes understanding. Peace, peace. He says, I thank God, verse 3, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that is a conscience or a heart made pure, sprinkled with the blood of Christ, cleansed from dead works to serve the living God, that without ceasing, he says, I can say this in sincerity, young Timothy, without ceasing, I think about you, I pray about you, I remember you in my prayers, night and day. Timothy, I'm praying for you. Now remember where he is. He's in prison. I mean a dungeon. And he's thinking about Timothy. Do you hear him moaning and groaning here? Oh no, he said, Timothy, I'm thinking about you and praying for you. God's been so merciful to us, hasn't he? And I'm praying for you. And verse 4, he says, I greatly desire to see you. He says, oh, I'm mindful of your tears. Mindful of them. And I want to see you that I may be filled with joy. He says, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith or this sincere faith that is in you. See, I think about it and it gives me pleasure. I think about it. You. He says, that faith which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and then your mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded that it's in thee also. Now, evidently, the last time that the Apostle Paul and Timothy saw one another, Timothy broke down. Evidently, it was too much for him seeing his buddy in jail. And Paul was probably a very, you know, after all these things I read to you, probably a very beaten and haggard looking man, wasn't he? Probably very gaunt. And he's bound to just be, some said he had an eye problem, maybe as a result of that stoning, you know. I don't know, speculation, but Timothy evidently broke down. It says in verse 5, Paul says, I'm mindful of your tears. I remember the way you wept over me when I saw you last. Timothy was probably overcome with grief and sorrow, and understandably so. This is just, we all go through it, don't we? We all experience pain and grief and sorrow over someone we love. It's understandable. Christ showed great pity and weeping over those he loved. He understands. He feels our weaknesses and our sorrows. He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. But Paul reminds Timothy, look at verse 6. He says, I put you in remembrance. I want to remind you something, Timothy. I want to stir up the gift of God which is in you. which was put on you by the putting on of my hands through God. Remember what you've been called to. Remember the task at hand. Remember who you are now, Timothy. You're a preacher of the gospel. And you've been called to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ and a minister of the gospel that was given to you. That's what you've been called to. You remember that Christ said, you remember this too, Timothy, that Christ said that the disciple was not above his master. Christ promised us that we're going to go through these problems, these troubles, these trials. He told us that we'd suffer these things. So fear not, Timothy. Don't be afraid. Look at it, verse 7. He said, God has not given us the spirit of fear. Don't be afraid. God's given us the spirit of power. Somebody's with us, Timothy. If God's for us, who can be against us? Greater is He that is in you than anybody you have to face. Remember that, Timothy. God's not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us the power of His Holy Spirit. Power. And of love. Love. He said, don't be bitter. Don't be angry at these people that have done these things to me or you or whoever. Don't be vengeful. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You leave that in His hand. You remember what the Lord said. He said, love your enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Remember that, Timothy. Love, remember this, love covers a multitude of evils and sin. This is a good lesson for all of us. We need to kill people with kindness, with love. Oh, if they see your kind, your conversation, your meekness and quietness and your love, they won't have any evil to speak of you. The scriptures are clear there. They won't have anything evil to say of you. They can't find anything in you. And that's kind of what he's reminding young Timothy of. God's given us a spirit of love, not vengeance. Love. And of a sound mind, he said, God, by His Spirit, has given you an understanding of some things. You know some things that other people don't. So don't go acting like you don't. Don't go acting like a fool. You have the mind of Christ. You have the secrets of the mysteries of the universe. You know the why. You know the purpose of God, the reason for the existence of all things. What could bother you? God's given you true spiritual understanding and discernment of all things. What if you, Timothy? Don't be afraid. Look at verse 8. And be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. We need that, though. We need to hear this. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Don't be timid and embarrassed and afraid when it comes to your testimony of Christ. Stan, we need to hear this, don't we? My soul. Don't be ashamed. Nor of me, his prisoner, he said. Don't forget about me. You know, when everybody's out there talking about me and you might experience persecution for standing up on my behalf, buddy, speak out for me. Don't forget me. Don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of me. Don't forget about me. He says, and be thou a partaker, verse 8, be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Take up your cross and follow Christ according to the grace of God that's given you. And then Paul can't help but get right into the thing he loves the most to talk about, the gospel. He just can't wait to get into it. He says, Timothy, buddy, don't be ashamed of the testimony of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of me. Be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. And this gospel is according to the power of God. And He saved us. Remember who's behind all this. Remember, Timothy, God started this. We didn't enter this warfare at our own charge now. God put us in this. Remember, He chose us and loved us. Look at it. He saved us and called us with a holy calling, eternal calling. He wasn't according to our works. Timothy, if God had given us what we deserve, oh my, we'd be in hell at this moment. But He's saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to what we deserve, But it's according to His purpose. He's got a purpose for us. This ought to help us. God's got a purpose for everybody in here. Everybody in here. A purpose. A purpose. According to His purpose and grace. He did it all by grace. The great gracious gift of His Son, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Not according to works which we have done. According to His mercy, He saved us. According to His divine purpose. See, God has given us in Christ all things. All things. All things are ordered. Our salvation is ordered and sure. Nothing to worry about. Timothy, nothing to fret about. God's very name should tell us that. Jehovah Jireh. God see to it. Let's everybody, why don't we paint that on the door lintel of our house. God will see to it. Jehovah Jireh. God will see to it. Let's paint that over our bedroom door before we walk out in the morning. God will take care of it. God will see to it. It's an old country saying, isn't it? The old, you know, Daddy would always tell you, he'd say, Daddy, would you do something for me? He'd say, I'll see to it. I'll see to it. He just left it in his hands, didn't he? Daddy, when Daddy said something, he meant it. I'll see to it. Don't worry about it. And you shouldn't worry about it. Jehovah Jireh. God will see to it. Verse 10. He says this gospel is now made manifest. It's been revealed unto us. Timothy, you're experiencing the reality of it all. You heard it in theory when you read it aforetime, when you were a young person. You heard these stories. And you believed with your head. Now you're experiencing it, Timothy. It's hitting home now. It's in your heart and it's in your life. And these things are coming upon you because of the reality of this thing. You see, Christ lives. He's real. He lives. And in Him we live and move and have our being. He's now made manifest by, the gospel's made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death. He's abolished death. Don't fear them that can kill the body, and after that they have nothing else they can do. Because we have eternal life in Christ. That's not the end. Death's not the end. We have life from there. That's just the entrance into life itself. Death. He's abolished death. Spiritual death. He's brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. And he says in verse 11, whereunto this gospel I'm appointed. I'm appointed a preacher. He says, I believe in eternal appointments. I do. I believe in an eternal God that makes eternal appointments. That all things are ordered by our Lord from the beginning of the world. I believe in God's divine purpose and God's divine sovereignty. I believe in that. I believe that where God has me, He put me. He put me. Not me, myself. The lot we read tonight is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. I believe that. I'm a preacher, he says. Albeit, I'm a preacher in jail, but I'm still a preacher, Paul says. Why? Why on earth would God put His greatest apostle in prison? Why on earth would He put John Bunyan, such a valiant and gallant man for the truth, the light in a dark world in that day, why would He put him in prison for 12 years? You ever read Pilgrim's Progress? That book is read by more people than any other book in the world besides the Bible. God knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing. He's got a purpose. He's got a purpose. And Paul says here, he says, for this cause I'm in prison. I'm appointed a preacher, and for this cause, look at verse 12. For this cause, for the which cause, according to God's all-wise plan and providence, I'm here in jail. For preaching the gospel of all things, I'm in jail. You'd think I'd be bottling it up, wouldn't it? But it's spreading it like he never probably could have. It, didn't it? He said, for which cause? I suffer these things. Nevertheless, he said, I'm not ashamed. I'm not mad. He said, I'm not mad at these fellows. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not sad. I'm not put out. I'm not tore up. I'm not worried. I'm not bitter. I'm not frustrated. I'm not too bothered about this thing. I've got contentment. Well, how? Paul, would you tell us how? I want to know. How can you say these things? How? What could possibly make you feel this way and have such peace and courage and contentment? What could do this? And Paul says it ain't what? Verse 12. He says, for I know whom I have believed. I know a person. I don't know a doctrine. A doctrine won't do this for you. A person. A person will. He says, I know a person. He said, I don't just believe doctrine. I know a person, and I believe his doctrine. He said, I know this person, and whatever he says, I believe it. I believe it. I've seen, I've felt, I've handled the word of life. I've spoken to and been spoken to by a person. How about you, Phil? A person. A person. None other than the Son of God Himself. I've walked with the King, Paul says. I've walked with the King, and He's real. He says, I'm here to tell you, I know whom I have believed. Timothy, I know whom I have believed. I know Him. He rules, He reigns, He controls, He orders all things. He's King, He's my Lord. The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. I know Him. And nothing takes place but what He has sovereignly, wisely ordained and directed for my life. Nothing. I know who I believe. I got confidence in Him. Why, Paul? He gave it to me. He gave me this faith. I know whom I have believed. You know, our Lord said, believe and be saved. He didn't say believe facts. He said believe me, didn't he? He said come unto doctrine and you'll have understanding. No, He didn't say that, did He? He said come unto me and you'll have rest. Come unto me. Come to Christ. Believe me. And the Apostle Paul says, I believe. I trust Him. I take Him at His word. I do. I believe what He said. I believe that all is well with my soul. This is what we've been studying for the past two or three Sundays. God's promises to us as believers. Like Donnie Bell said, we've lived so far below our privileges. So far below our privileges as sons of God. We read it there in Romans 8:32. How shall He not with Christ freely give us all? And Paul said, I believe. I believe. How about you, Timothy? How about you, Terry? Rick? Jeanette? Why not? Why not you? Why can't you believe like Paul did? Same Lord, same book, isn't it? One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one hope with His calling. Why not you, Joe? Well, why not me? I wish we'd come to that point. Why not me? I think I will believe and see what happens. The song says, how I've proved Him over and over. You know, we have, whether we realize it or not. Look at you. Everybody in here just about has got two automobiles. You got a refrigerator and cupboards full of groceries. Got beautiful, healthy children. Most of you are healthy. Me? Rich and increased with goods, aren't we? The Lord has just said, here. What do you need? Here, take some more. What do you want? Here, take that too. Here. Every now and then we'll get a little stump our toe. Mindy gave me this illustration this morning. She said,
the grace of God and the mercy of God is kind of like salvation of God. It's kind of like an old bum and a beggar coming up to a man's house and the man taking him in, giving him a good meal, washing him up, cleaning him up, giving him a good meal, giving him a bed to sleep in, just lavishing him with everything. I mean, old bum, he doesn't need this old bum. The bum messes his house up. But he does all this for that old bum. And the next morning, the bum, see you later, walks out the door, heads on down the street. And he's out on the street, and some folks start bad-mouthing the guy in the house, and the bum chimes in. Or the bum, you know, gets a little hungry after that. Why doesn't that old rascal give me something else to eat? He's got all that food. He didn't have to do what he did for you. But the bum comes right back. And here's real mercy and grace. And the man lets him in again. And gives him another meal. And washes him up and cleans him up. And gives him a suit of clothes and all this. And gives him a bed to sleep in. And speaks kindly to him and so forth. Only to have him turn around and grumble again. What if he went out the door and said, "Boy, I didn't like that food. That wasn't his. This suit doesn't fit right." What should the man do? So much for you, man. I didn't have to do that for you. God Almighty, what has He done for us? Every one of us, right? Every one of us in here. Oh, my soul. My. The Apostle Paul says, God has abundantly blessed us. Oh, I know whom I have believed, and He's a gracious, merciful, kind Father who's given us all these things. And He's spoken peace to my heart. He's revealed Himself to me in a special and powerful way in the gospel. And yes, I know whom. And if we'd just open these big eyes, we'd see whom. We'd see whom. If we just get in this book, we'd see whom. It's a whom. It's a person at work. Doctrines don't work in our lives. Concepts, principles don't work in our lives. A person works in our lives. A person gives. A person bestows. A person comforts. A person gives peace. You see? It's a person at work, living in this Word. And this is how miraculous it is. This person is alive in this book. Only the wisdom of God, the power of God, could do such a thing. Could it manifest Himself in such a way so as to be real? Real. And look at what the Apostle said. I know whom I have believed. Persuaded. I got a firm persuasion. And He's able. I mean, He's the Lord. He's the Lord. And I'm persuaded He's able. And this is what real faith and trust is all about. This is what it's all about. A heartfelt persuasion that what God says here is true. For me, over and over, we've been talking about this for weeks now. The Lord said over and over again, "Oh, ye of little faith, why is it that you don't believe?" Nancy, why is it that we don't believe? I mean, we read it over and over again, don't we? Sunday after Wednesday, the same promises over and over again, yet the very next day, the next hour, we're fretting and worrying. Christ said, "Why is it that you don't believe? Oh, ye of little faith, how long must I bear with you?" The promises of God are sure. Believe them. Believe them. Believe them. And He says, just believe like a little child. Just believe in the peace of God. And He said, Mary did not tell you if you just believe that you could see the glory of God Himself. He said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. If you refuse to believe me, then maybe I just won't show you some things that I'd show you otherwise. Does that make sense? I've used this illustration before. It's like a child, a father saying, "Son, I'm going to take you to the ball game tomorrow." And the boy says, "Well, I'll believe it when I see it." And the boy comes up like, "Dad, you sure he's going to take me to that game now?"
Son, I told you. Now, don't bring it up again. Just rest in my promises. All right. And that night, Dad, I just don't believe he's going to do it. Dad, you going to take me? I have a half a mind not to. I told you I would. Okay. And then...